spend time thinking about the Lord and His goodness to us this morning. This hymn singing, scripture reading, just the heartfelt thanks and gratefulness to the Lord has been a blessing. And it continues now as we look to His Word. Let's pour a word of prayer. Father, again, we are so thankful, Lord. Fathers, we have been singing how thankful we are for all that You have done for us. I ask, Lord, this morning as we look at Your Scripture, as You look at Your Word to us, that our hearts would be sensitive, that it would move us, Father, and that our commitment and our devotion and our love would increase towards You, and that You and Your Son, the Lord Jesus, might receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to continue our study on the Lord's Prayer next week. I thought it appropriate this morning to talk to you a little bit about this whole idea of praise and thanksgiving. But before I do that, let me share with you a familiar story from Luke 17. Jesus was traveling to Galilee along the border of Galilee and Samaria, and He comes into a village, and there are 10 men standing afar off, and they cry out to the Lord Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Because they were 10 lepers, and they were no longer allowed to involve themselves or be engaged with society because they had this dangerous this disease of leprosy. And so Jesus responds to them, and He says to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so they turn around, and they're going to go show themselves to the priest. And all of a sudden, they begin to look at themselves, and they say, "We've been healed. We've been healed." And then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. Remember, there were 10 of them. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. And then you have this significant statement, this zinger, if you would. It says, "Now he was a Samaritan." You know, the Samaritans were the ones you would not expect to give thanks to Jesus. They were a separate group of people. They did not get along with the Jews. They were not known at all for their piety. In fact, they did not get along with anybody but themselves. They even had their own place to worship. However, when we look at this text, the focus is not so much on the Samaritan himself, even though Jesus was using him to teach a lesson, but rather the focus was upon the 9. Because notice what Jesus says in Luke 17:17. He says, Jesus answers after this man falls down and worships Him. Jesus says to this man, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? They had been blessed. There's no thankfulness." The implication to 9 were Jewish people, and they were expected to be... give thanks to the Lord Jesus because God has sent His Son. God has sent the Messiah. God has sent the Anointed One, the One that was promised. God has done all of this, and now they have this fatal disease of leprosy, which was an ugly, ugly disease where your fingers and extremities would start to deteriorate and all this, and yet they didn't come back, and yet you think they will be the ones that would come back and say, "Thank You, Lord. Thank You for healing us. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for sending us Your Son. Oh, God, thank You." And they walk away. Now we look at that, and our first response is, what's wrong with these people? I mean, for crying out loud. Why couldn't they turn around and say, "Thank You, Jesus"? Why did they just walk away from here? And I think how quickly we are to look at these 9 and begin to put our judgment upon them for not being thankful enough. Because you see, they were happy. My disease is over. God took care of my problem. Yippee. Now I'm just going to go on and live my life. And sadly, I think that oftentimes happens in our lives as believers. I think there's a weakness in our Christianity at times. Because when we go and we praise the Lord, we need to be reminded it's more than just thanking the Lord for the things that are in this world, thanking the Lord for the material blessings. I mean, let me give you an example. Here's 2 verses that remind us that we forget these things. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." And then James 1:8. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet with trials of various kinds." So here are 2 reminders that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Think about that for a moment. Every circumstance you encountered this week, you're to give thanks for. Did you? I mean, I don't even want to think about it, to be honest with you. You know, it's like, well, I didn't give the Lord thanks for that. I mean, you know, Kathy tried a new recipe the other night. It's okay. You know, sorry, sweetheart. You know the implication. What I'm saying is, the idea is, I just want to be sure you're paying attention there. But the idea is this. We have this weakness in our life where we talk about our salvation, and we talk about being thankful. But here's what happens. Our thankfulness is shallow. You know, we don't go far enough with our praise. The nine continued on. Oh, okay, I'm healed. Their life goes on. They didn't consider the full work of God in their lives. They completely missed the point. And sometimes our praise to God is simply limited to the immediate. Oh, God took care of this problem, so I'm going to thank him. You know, God took care of that. You know, for example, we readily thank God for good things. We thank him for all kinds of good things. We thank him for answered prayer. But generally, we only thank him for answered prayer when it's answered our way. I've never heard someone give a testimony and say, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that you heard me and answered my prayer the way you did. Most of the time, it's like, as long as it's in our favor, it's good. If it's not in our favor, we don't like it. We're not thankful for that. And yet, we ought to be thankful for the privilege of prayer. You know, we thank him for answering our way, but we don't thank him for the privilege of prayer. We don't thank him that we have the opportunity to go to him in prayer. We're not thankful for the opportunity I have time to spend alone with Jesus and commune with him because of what he's done for me. You know, we thank him for deliverance, but we never thank him for the grace to endure. And again, I'm speaking to you, but I'm speaking to myself as well, because sometimes when we give thanks, it is so controlled by our circumstances. I will thank the Lord because he did this, and I will thank the Lord because he did that, and I will thank the Lord because he blessed me this way. But when it comes to the difficult times, and times when God works in our lives differently for our betterment because he loves us so much, we're not so thankful. I mean, we thank him for our homes and our jobs and our spouses and our children and our safety. We thank him for all of these things. And rightly so, because we read in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of changing. But God has blessed us more and more than we can imagine spiritually. And yet, our praise is so shallow because it's controlled by our circumstances. Think about it for a moment. When we begin to think about my praise to God and how often I praise him and thank him, is it not generally just for the circumstances that we encounter that God spares us from, which we should? I'm not saying don't do that, but what I'm saying and what I'm going to share with you this morning is don't stop there. We have been far more blessed than we could possibly imagine, and I'll show you that in a minute. But genuine praise and thanksgiving comes in every circumstance. Let me give you one illustration taken from Acts 16, verse 25. Here are the disciples. They were arrested. They were arrested, and they were put in prison. And this is what we read in Acts 16. They were beaten with rods and then put in prison. This is what we read in Acts 25. They were beaten with rods and thrown into prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Think about this for a moment. They were beaten with rods. They were thrown into prison for doing the right thing, for honoring the Lord with their lives, for teaching and preaching the gospel, and you're thrown into prison. You could just see it now. What a pity party you could have. Lord, why are you doing this to me? I'm following you. I'm being obedient to you. I'm doing everything you want me to do. And here I am in prison, and they're beating me. And what do? You do not find them complaining. You do not find them whining. You don't find any of that, because their praise to God was not based on their immediate circumstances, but rather they were looking to him and they were praising him and glorifying God. I mean, think about this. They weren't only praying and praising God, but they were singing hymns. You can imagine that. I remember, I don't know if I shared this with you before. I may have, because it's such a great example of seeing this thing at work. But a few years when I was back, I was involved in the prison ministry. We would have a service once a month in the church. And I had the responsibility of watching over, going with the praise and prayer time and taking requests. And I can remember so clearly, here were these men, and we had a couple of requests. And then following that, men began to praise the Lord. Now understand, these are people who are incarcerated. They're people in prison. They're people in jail for things that they've done wrong. But now they're together in this church service, and they begin to thank the Lord. And all of a sudden, one gets up and says, I thank the Lord for his word. Another one gets up and says, I want to thank the Lord for my brothers in Christ here, where we can share and pray together. Another one gets up and says, oh, I'm so thankful that I have been redeemed. Another one says, I'm so thankful I've been forgiven. You see, their immediate circumstances, they were in jail for something they have done, but all of a sudden they're looking to the Lord. They're looking to what God has done. And I think there are some things we need to consider. How is it that we can put aside the immediate and the circumstances and begin to praise God for something far deeper than just He got us through a traffic jam, or that He answered this prayer request? Not that they aren't important. They're wonderful, and the Lord is so good to us showing us these things. But what I'm saying is there is a lacking of depth in our praise to the Lord so often. And so this morning, I want to look at Ephesians 1:3, and I want to talk about three things that will help us strengthen our praise, to bring depth to our praise. And in Ephesians chapter 1, notice how he begins this in verse 3. In fact, when you look at this passage of Scripture, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, Paul begins, and here's the first thing we're going to do, is to consider the nature of our salvation. That's what he's doing here. He's considering the nature, the character of our salvation. Notice what he says. First, I'm going to only read verse first, but 1 through 14 is one sentence. It's 202 words long. It includes the entire Trinity. If you were to look at this passage carefully, you would see in verses 3 through 6, he talks about God the Father. And in verse 6, he says, to the praise of his glory. In 7 through 12, he talks about God the Son. And then notice what he does at the end of 12, to the praise of his glory. In chapter 13, or verses 13 and 14, it's God the Holy Spirit. And in verse 14, it says, to the praise, to the glory of God. And so all of this is about God's glory. All of this amazing praise. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing. As you read through verses 3 through 14, it's like this snowball. You begin a little tiny ball, and you're at the top of a hill, and you make a snowball, and you begin to roll it down the hill, and it becomes greater and greater and greater and greater. And that's exactly what we have here. As you read through this passage, see it like shingles on a roof, where you got one layer, and then another layer, and another layer, and another, all moving upward. That's what this passage is doing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to God's glory. The whole thing just swells up like this and comes together like that. It's amazing. It is a declaration of God's work and what He's done in our lives. I mean, think about this, and I'm just going to read through the list here. But look, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He chose us before the foundation of the earth. We are adopted as sons. He has brought redemption into our life. He has brought forgiveness of our trespasses. He's made known to us the mysteries of His will. He has sealed us with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's just a few. Now notice here, the praise is not mentioning any circumstances or any immediate. But it says God, God's glory, God's wonderful, God has done this, God has done that. And so often when we thank the Lord, here's what we say: I'm so thankful that the Lord saved me. Absolutely wonderful. But it carries so much with it. Once you stop and you begin to look, He saved me from my sin. He saved me from a life of destruction. He has saved me from hell. He has saved me from myself. He has saved me and adopted me. He has redeemed me as His own. All of this. And so he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God blesses us, but we don't deserve it. We bless God. I mean, the only reason we bless God is because He's blessed us. And we have been given so much more in salvation. When we say, I thank the Lord for my salvation, in our mind, we might have a slight idea of what we're talking about, because normally we don't stop and dwell and see the depth of what God has really done in our life. We simply say, I'm so thankful that God has saved me from hell. I'm thankful that I'm a Christian. I'm thankful for the things that God's brought in my life. But so often when we give our praise to God, it's like a text message instead of a letter. You know, a text message, I'm learning how to do this. And some of you older ones are probably still learning. I'm not that far in. But what's a text message? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm here. Hey, I'll be there. Hey, yeah, not even hey sometimes. And then I like it too when you put like, you know, just initials. You know, if you do that to me, I'm going to have to figure out what you're actually meaning by the acronym. I don't know. I do know LOL. I know that one. But that's only one I know. But think about this for a moment. Sometimes our praise is simply that.
You know, we thank the Lord for one little thing, one immediate thing, and it's good that we do that, but you understand we're not thinking. How much better, instead of when we give our praise, sending a text message, that we would write a letter in our minds. We would not simply send a quick message to get the point, but there would be some thoughtfulness to it. There would be some dwelling upon it, so that when we go to the Lord and we begin to thank Him for the things we do, we begin, or what He's done for us, rather, we begin to look at Him and we say, "Oh, Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, that You have broken the power of sin in my life. I know I fail You, Father, but yet You have given me the power to stand up against sin. You've given me the power to resist temptation. You've given me the opportunity to come to the throne of grace. Father, You have promised to hear my every prayer. Lord, You say You are my shepherd and I feel Your embrace." You see, there's so much more to thank the Lord about if we would only take the time and forget the immediate and start thinking about God's great work in our lives spiritually. That's what I'm talking about. How often we thank Him in a text as opposed to a letter. And yet our text here reflects thoughtfully what God has done in our lives. Even here, as you look at this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Now in Acts chapter 9, Paul gets saved. Years later in Acts chapter 22, Paul talks about his testimony to the king. He talks to it to about a great crowd he gives his testimony to. In Acts 26, Paul does it again before King Agrippa. He talks about chapter 9 is where he was saved. 22, he shares his testimony about how God saved him. 26, he shares his testimony about how God saved him. And then years later, turn with me if you would to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice what Paul says here in this passage of Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he's writing to Timothy. And as he's writing to him, he says in verse 12, "I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He has judged me faithful, appointing me to this service. Though formerly," and here it comes, look what he says, "though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And this, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I have received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who believe in me for eternal, believe in Him for eternal life. Now, he's saying this, and he's saying, when God spoke to me, He saved me from myself. I was a chief of sinners, and not only did He save me, a chief of sinners, a person that was this bad, but now everyone else gets to see what? God's mercy. God is merciful. God is gracious. God has loved me. Look what God has done in my life, and I am so thankful. In fact, He is so thankful in verse 17 when He gives this praise and talks about His salvation. Notice what He says. He can't help Himself. He says, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." It never ceases. The wonder that God has saved me, and it's not just that He has saved me. He has shown His mercy to me throughout my lifetime. He has shown His grace to me for all that He has given to me. God has blessed me, and I can't stop talking about all the wonderful things because this took place years later. And so we see this blessing that God has given to him. It reflects so thoughtfully. The wonder never ends. His growing knowledge of God, His growing praise. And here's some application from all of this. God is to be praised for who He is, not just temporal blessings. What is amazing is the fact that we know God at all. Do you remember the description in Ephesians chapter 2? We are enemies. We were at enmity with God. We were His enemies. We didn't care about God or anything. But God, who is rich in mercy, saved us. What an amazing fact that we know Him at all. I mean, not only that, but not only do we know Him, but God in His grace reveals Himself to us in ways that we can understand. We know that God is holy. How do we know that? Because God has told us that. Think about Isaiah when the cherubim are flying around. And what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when he says holy, he recognizes what we call theologians call the transcendence of God. He is up there. We're not even worthy of him. And yet in all of this transcendence, in all of this holiness that God has had, he reaches down and explains himself to us and shows us in ways we can understand. Think about Psalm 23. God speaking, he says, and David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is revealing the care that he has for us. He didn't have to use a shepherd, but we understand it, don't we? God is just. We see that in the way he deals with sin. God is love. We see that in sending his son. In fact, we see God's unique mercy and justice and love in the fact that Jesus was sent down to earth to die for our sins, to die to free us from the power of sin. All of these things. And to praise him, you must know him. And I'm not talking about some vain idea. I'm talking about the idea of knowing his love, experiencing his mercy, coming to him, as we talked about when we did the Sermon on the Mount, coming to him, poor in spirit, and say, God, I'm nothing. I don't understand, Lord. Why did you save me? There was no reason to save us. There was no reason except God loved me. And he loves you. That's what happens when you begin to think about the nature of your salvation. You begin to think of the wonder and the blessings and the love and the care that he has given to us. He reveals himself to ways we can understand, and God has promised in sending us his son. Well, the second thing we need to consider also is the means of our salvation. Do you notice what he says back here again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3? Notice he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and here we go, this is what I'm talking about, the means, in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It is interesting he says that. We read that over very quickly when we think about being in Christ, because Paul uses it 160 times in his writing, this idea of being in Christ. And when he talks about us being in Christ, it is the way in which we live our lives. It is the way in which God looks at us. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9 when God, where Jesus confronts the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and he says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Oh, wait a minute. He's going to persecute Christians. But Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, he called him at that time, why are you persecuting me? Because all those who are in Christ are with Jesus. They are intimately related. They are united with him. Because we are placed in Christ, we are his children. We have fellowship with him. Because we are in Christ, we are the recipients of overwhelming blessing. And this is what I mean when we talk about we're so shallow in our praise. Because it's, oh yeah, I'm in Christ, it's wonderful. Listen to what you have when it talks about being in Christ here. In Romans 6:16, we are alive to God in Christ. We're no longer dead in trespass and sin, but rather we are alive to God. We talk with him and communicate with him. He speaks to us through his word because we have the Spirit of God in us. In Romans 6:23, we have eternal life in Christ. In Romans 8:1, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, we are made alive in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, now we are a new creation in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, sealed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Understand we are in Christ and that there is no separation. That when God looks upon us for some reason in his wisdom and his love and his mercy and his grace, he looks upon us. He doesn't see us as filthy enemies and sinners, but rather he sees us as his son because we are in Christ Jesus. How closely we are identified with him. We are justified and glorified in Christ. We sing that hymn, In Christ Alone, and I love the way the choruses end because it says this, in the love of Christ I stand, in the death of Christ I live, in the power of Christ I stand. Our praise goes beyond. It is to go beyond just the immediate. It is to go beyond the circumstance. It is rather stopping and thinking, what has God done for us? And it will go on forever. I don't want to be a text messenger to God. I don't want people to see my praise to God as some kind of text, just something like, but rather,
I want them to see what God has done in my life. I want to praise him like Paul and Silas did, or John and Silas in the book Acts. In prison, I'm singing praises to him. And our praise goes beyond salvation. We are to consider the nature of our salvation, that God has saved us and revealed himself to us in ways that we can understand. Consider the means of our salvation, that when we were saved, we were placed in Christ, and there is this intimate union that exists. It is so intimate. I mean, consider John 15, when it says there, Jesus says, I am the true vine, you are the branches. The branches are cut off, they don't have any life. They don't have anything. They're dry and they're thrown into the fire. But Jesus, I'm the true vine. If you abide in me and I in you. So you got this intimate relationship we have. We are in Christ. And then finally, a third thing we need to consider. Consider the nature of spiritual blessings. Do you notice what he says here in this passage? Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Now, there is a controversy about this text, and I'm just going to share it with you. Some people talk about this particular passage of Scripture, and they look at it and say, with every spiritual blessing, and they see the spiritual part as a reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, they do that because the whole outline of this particular text tends to lead that way. Do you remember I pointed out that he talks about God the Father to the praise of God's glory, God the Son to the praise of God's glory, God the Holy Spirit to the praise of God's glory. Well, in this same verse, he does so, and they think spiritual blessings because of the outline, the way it is presented. And then there are others who say, well, this is not a reference to that, but it's a reference to spiritual gifts, what God has given to us. And some hold to that. But I say, and this is not a chicken way out, but it's just the way it is. It is both. It is both. God has given us spiritual blessings. God has given us spiritual gifts. But he has also given us the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who brings all these things to our life. And so here he begins by talking about that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now consider this for a minute. We thank him for many things, as I said earlier. We thank him for our homes and our employment. We thank him for our health. We thank him for our safety. We thank him for our family. We thank him for our church. Rightly so. However, as wonderful as all of these temporal blessings are, that's the whole point. They are temporal. You know, they're going to end. It's just going to be the end of it. You know, you're not always going to have your job. You're always not going to have your health. You're not going to have your home. You're not always going to have safety. You're not always going to have your family. You're not always going to have your church. And I'm not saying we should praise the Lord because these are wonderful gifts that God's given us. But you understand that we spend so much time thanking the Lord for these things that we forget to thank him for some other things that are eternal. We praise God for the spiritual blessings. They're eternal. Think about blessings that are spiritual in nature. In this context alone, he's thanking him because God has chosen him before the foundation of the earth. He's thanking him that God has adopted him into his family. He is thankful that God has redeemed him from his sin. He is thankful that God has forgiven him for his sin. And the spiritual aspect of these blessings is that they never end. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be still the chosen that God had chosen me. I'm still going to be in his family. I'm still going to be redeemed. I'm still going to be forgiven. And the wonder and the being in God's presence and recognizing all of these things is thank you, Lord. The praise of spiritual blessings is that they're eternal. I love that hymn, that song, of course. I can only imagine. Will I dance for you, Jesus, or will I bow down and worship you? I don't know. And that's the wonderful part about it. Because part of us is going, I want to just dance for joy because Jesus is there. The one who died for us. The one who saved us from our sin. Who sacrificed his life for me. And then the other one is, this is God's Son. I must worship him and adore him. I don't know. But I can tell you, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful standing before the Lord someday. That's the nature of spiritual blessings. I mean, yes, I want to thank the Lord and recognize every good gift that he's given me here in this world. But I don't want to forget and I don't want to neglect being thankful for the spiritual, the wonderful blessings that he gives us. There's a danger when our only focus is on the temporal. And the challenge is to break away from that pattern of temporal mindset. Continue to praise him for the temporal, but do not exclude the spiritual. We need to focus on the spiritual and the spiritual blessings of being chosen, of being adopted, of having redemption, and of having forgiveness. I mean, all of these things aren't just words. They're things that carry with it meaning. For example, I say, I'm so thankful that God has chosen me for the foundation of the earth. All of a sudden, I'm saying, I'm thankful that God's done that, but I'm thankful that he was so attentive to me, that he even thought of me.
I'm thankful for that. You see, it goes on beyond that. Or for the adoption. What does that mean? I always have a family. I belong. I'm in Christ. He has adopted me. I'm his child. I'm in his embrace, if you would. Redemption. I belong to him because I was purchased with the blood of Christ. And I begin to think about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. That God has forgiven me for sin. There will never be a separation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. My sins, past, present, future, are forgiven. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. What a comfort that is. And here it is. That's an eternal blessing that never leaves. God never stops loving us. God never stops redeeming us. God never stops working in our lives. Here are some examples of spiritual blessings. I just want to share a couple of them. In John 14, 27, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you." The world gives us temporal peace. We might have a peace agreement with somebody, but that doesn't last. One world war, two world wars, three world wars. Who knows what God and what's going to take place here, what God is doing in the world. We're not always sure, but understand this, that we have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him, referring to Christ, who has strengthened me. That's never going to leave us. John 15:11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be full in you, and that your joy may be full. 2 Corinthians 12:9, we talked about this last week, but listen to what he says. But he's talking about Christ. Christ says to Paul, after he prayed three times for the thorn to be removed, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is with us. And it's not power that we use, but it's power that we receive in terms of comfort and forgiveness and power over the of sin. Listen to what he promises at first in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did you get that? His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything in our life, through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, to which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world and its sinful desire. Do you understand the difference? Peace, joy, grace, strength, love, all these things are gifts that God has given to us here and now. But they go on forever. They go on forever. Always, I will know the love of God. Always, I will know the presence of the Holy Spirit. Always, because God is so good. Blessed be the God who blesses us with every spiritual blessing. They're given us to eternity. God has given us so much to be thankful for, even in this life. But don't stop there, because you will miss the richness. You will miss the glory of God. You will miss the wonderful things that God has given us, not only here, but throughout eternity. And when we experience him here, we can't even imagine how great they're going to be in eternity. Giving thanks. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Oh, Father, your word is so wonderful. You have been so gracious and wonderful to us. Many of us, Father, enjoy the temporal blessings that you've given to us. May we not forget the spiritual, Lord. May we, during this time when we think about giving thanks, stop and think for a moment all of the wealth and the depth of you saving us and your grace in our life. And above all else, Father, may we bring glory to you and to your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.